Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is Darren Cartel. I've been dying to do this podcast with Darren since we first talked about setting it up several months ago, so it's long overdue. Darren is someone who I follow online, somebody who I really respect in the fitness industry because he really tells it like it is, and his whole focus is on simplifying weight loss and simplifying fitness and nutrition for people. Also, if you hear chomping in the background, that's Rocco. I got him a new toy, Rocco, my dog, my Staffordshire Bull Terrier. I probably shouldn't have got him something as chewable while I'm doing a podcast introduction. But anyways, here we are. Today's episode, we jump around on a lot of different topics. This one's very conversational, back and forth, talking about weight loss, talking about fat loss, talking about mindset, talking about Darren's approach to how he handles things like his problems and choosing your problems. So there's so much in this episode. I really, really enjoyed it. One of those conversations that just flew by. We had 55 minutes done, and it was a case of we could have gone on for another 55 or another hour or two with all the topics we could have covered. So I'm really glad we got to have this conversation. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Today's episode, Darren Cartel on simplifying weight loss with Neat Up 247, influencer body positivity bullshit, and why you need to choose your problems. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Darren Cartel. Darren is a London-based personal trainer, online fitness coach, and the head coach at Project X Training, the UK's leading accountability program. Darren specializes in helping people lose weight and get in great shape by focusing on his Neat Up 247 approach, which we'll be diving into in this podcast. He's also the host of the Darren Cartel Show, which I'll link in the show notes to subscribe to as well. I'm looking forward to talking all things nutrition, training, and fitness in general in today's episode. Darren, welcome to this long overdue podcast.
How you doing, man? I've been waiting for you to message me for a long time.
Man, I have been dying to have this conversation because we've been talking about for months, kind of back and forth about setting it up. So I'm delighted that we finally got to do it. And there's so many topics we can unpack and uncover. But before we do any of that, just for the audience, talk a little bit about your backstory to becoming a personal trainer. When I was kind of doing a deep dive into your history, again, I've been following your Instagram for ages, so I know what you're doing day to day. But your backstory to becoming a personal trainer is really interesting. Talk about that.
For you guys that don't know me, my name is Darren Cartel, as you said. I've been a personal trainer now. I've been in the fitness industry since nearly like pretty much 10 years now. I first started working in the gym when I was 19 years old, but that all kind of led to working in a gym pretty much to help out with my so-called football career at the time. My biggest goal at that moment of my life was to become a professional footballer. So I was pretty much doing whatever I could to be in an environment where I could train to become a better athlete, to be able to become a full-time footballer. So I thought, why not be able to make some money and be in an area where I can train all the time to make to get the best out of me, right? Little did I know, I didn't know I'd fall in love with actually coaching, helping people, and being in the gym environment, which then led me to be eventually becoming a full-time personal trainer as I was studying like my BTEC level in sport in college. You know, my college tutor at the time, she said, you'd be a great coach. She goes, because whatever you say, Darren, I trust you. So she was like, you need to do your PT course. And I listened to her, and she's someone that I adore and trust. So I did my PT course and I ended up becoming a personal trainer and fitness first Oxford Circus. Then later on decided to do a bit of traveling. Did a lot of personal training in Australia for a few years. Played some football in Australia for a few years. And since I left Australia and went online, things went pretty fucking mental, which is why I'm here on this podcast, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to be jumping around a lot in this podcast because I do want to double back to the footballers, the time of trials at 16. And I know that was your dream, and a couple of things about school that I definitely want to come back to because you did a great podcast. I think it was your first ever one about, you know, who is Darren Cartel. And you talk a lot about your backstory. It's such an engaging one. So we will jump around. But before we do, we're going to keep this kind of fitness-based, nutrition-based to kick us off. And one of the things I associate the most with you, and I love this approach, I think it's one of the, when I think genius and simplicity, I think this is how fitness should be approached for a lot of people. Talk about Neat Up 247.
Oh, so basically, obviously, for you guys that don't know about what NEAT is, it's non-exercise activity thermogenesis, right? I know that makes me sound very smart. It is a very big word. What that actually means is it's pretty much anything that is non-planned. So realistically, when I'm getting people to get their knee up 24/7, which is a hashtag that I built to make it more fun and interactive, to kind of make that message and that probably at the not now, but before, the most underrated way or something that's been kind of overlooked for years is people's general activity. And general activity, I mean anything that you don't usually plan. What my goal was at the time was, after looking at studies, seeing the biggest impact of people dropping a lot of body fat was actually the knee element of it. That would hinder the most, right? So especially when people are in a deficit, it will hinder it in a way where it will drop their general activity and it will make people plateau and so on and so forth. So what I wanted to do is, I need to find a way when I don't have time and I'm working online on my phone to get a little bit leaner. So I started this hashtag, #MeUp247, that kind of, not I want to say instantly, but over a few days after I did a few funny stories, it went absolutely viral because I think the word itself was so catchy. And then when people started looking into it a little bit more, they realized that this is one of the biggest things that make an impact on their fat loss journey. And so many people still to this day reach out to me just because I simplified something for them, because general activity has been overlooked for so long, right? A lot of people, when they want to lose weight, the first thing that they do is they want to train. And I completely get that. But what people don't realize is, especially in your total daily energy expenditure, is your exercise activity is actually a very small percentage compared to everything else. I mean, the fact that even with your BMR, people don't realize that your body uses energy just to function, to survive. And I think a lot of the time, general population think they need to either burn even more calories than what they've eaten, because they don't realize when they're doing nothing, their body is still burning energy, right? So that was one of the ways I got that message across, to educate especially my clients in that way, and then get them to push their knee up 24/7 to be able to make the most out of their fat loss journey in a non-complex way. Because just like you said, I think the biggest issue is a lot of people add a lot of stress in their fitness journey. And my goal was to always create simplicity for my clients, to add fitness into their life, to not make fitness their life, if that makes sense. And that's the kind of way it started from there. And to be honest, I like to simplify it, because I don't think you don't need to overcomplicate these things. And to be honest, even if I wanted to overcomplicate them, I just wouldn't, because I really think sometimes when you overcomplicate topics like that, I think it can really confuse people and it can be overwhelming, especially with general population, as you would know.
This is definitely a mistake I've made, Darren, where I've overcomplicated things in the past, especially at the beginning of my journey as a personal trainer. And when I realized that when you simplify it for people, they're able to stick to it, and consistency is key. Did the reason you simplify it, is that just the way you like to approach things? Or were you similar to me in the sense that you did take more complicated approaches when you started as a trainer first and saw that people didn't respond to it or were confused by it? Or how did you kind of get to that mindset of, I'm going to simplify things? Because when I associate your content, it's very accessible for people. I've said so many of my clients and people that are following me over to your content when it comes to particularly the neat activity. I'm like, go far and follow Deer and stuff, and like, stop focusing on your hour in the gym and think about your whole day, your 24 hours. What was your kind of approach to that? Or how did you get to the point where simplification is the way to connect with people? Has that always been your way, or is that something you developed?
I want to say I overcomplicate initially, but I try to be, let's say, smarter initially when I started, because let's be honest, most personal trainers, I'm sure you as well, me as well, we use these big ass words and we talk in these complicated ways to sometimes make your client at a time when you're a young personal trainer to make them believe you know what the fuck you're talking about when you don't.
You know? Yep,
and I was like, yeah. And so at that point, I was like, this is crazy. This is just either caloric deficit or just a bit more activity. You know, you want to train, you want to build muscle, progressively overload. You want to lose some body fat. What's your energy balance? Not fast or do this or do that or do that. Initially, yes, I did overcomplicate it, but I went through all of those things, experienced those things to then be able to talk about them very confidently. Because I think a lot of what happens now a lot is you get a lot of personal trainers, coaches, S&C coaches that sometimes even get annoyed at people like myself because they go, you're oversimplifying something. I'm like, well, no, I'm simplifying something because for most of the world, fitness is not life. With for personal trainers, especially people that don't have sporting backgrounds that go into personal training, they always think or assume their clients are like them. Whereas fitness is not their life. So you need to sometimes oversimplify it and sometimes not give them too much information because you don't want them to think too much. When people think too much, they stress too much, they overcomplicate, and when they stress, nothing goes to plan. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, that when you stress people out or you make them overthink things or overcomplicate things, their adherence levels just plummet, from my experience anyway. And I think, as you said, taking that simplified approach, whether you're the personal trainer listening to this, working with clients, or you're somebody who's working with a personal trainer or following people online, in the case of you, Darren, James is very good at this as well. James has been on the podcast, yeah. James Smith. It's the same idea. It's putting across a simplified message of when you're trying to lose weight or reduce body fat, it's calorie deficit and what supports that, you know. And, you know, NEAT activity is a major component of it. I want to just double back, Darren, because you said something really interesting that I connected with straight away, that, you know, we say and try and overcomplicate things in the beginning because it makes, you know, we want to feel smarter. I definitely did this. And for me, it one of the things I connected with on your earlier podcast was you said you did really poor in school, and I was exactly the same. So I always had that little bit of an insecurity around my intelligence level, or, you know, confusing things like wisdom and intelligence and education and all these things that I had misconceptions around. For you to get to the point where you could start to simplify your content now, how did you get over that feeling of I should feel smarter or want to make myself feel better by using the big words and the complicated things? How did you get over that?
So basically, like what you said is so correct about the insecurities. Like, it's so correct. We all fear that we fear that we might get caught out, right? So like, and sometimes like when you first start as a PT, you're like, oh my God, am I getting 50 pounds for this hour? I don't know if I deserve this 50 quid, you know? So like, especially when you're like a fresh PT or whatever. So my way of overcoming that was I accepted the fact that I'm not that guy. Like, for example, my best friend, James Smith, everyone knows James Smith in the fitness industry. Me and him are so different. Our coaching styles are so different. We give a very similar message, but our delivery, the way we speak, is so different. Smith is very articulate with things. He could say, you could give him a topic and he could probably articulate that one sentence into six paragraphs. I'm the opposite. I'd rather not simplify it, but I'd rather deliver it in a very more practical way than, say, speaking about it, right? So I was always like, I'm not that guy. So I'm never going to try to be that guy. What I'm going to do is deliver whatever message the best way and the simplest way possible in an interactive, engaging, charismatic way as Darren, right? So anytime any client I had on the gym floor, I was making sure they were having a good time, because when they were having a good time, they were listening to me. And when they were listening to me, they were getting great results, you know? So that was my way of doing it. I was like, I don't have that, but I have these skills. And what I'm going to do now is utilize this the best way possible. And so far, it's going great. And sometimes you do have those moments where like, oh shit, you know, I wish maybe I was a little bit smarter that way, but then I wouldn't have the people skills or the communication skills or the emotional intelligence that I think that I have. So I overcame that as, no, I'm going to concentrate on the strong skills that I have that actually have a way more powerful impact in coaching.
Darren, how did you overcome that comparison syndrome then? Because the instant thing that can pop up there, particularly with other trainers, and you've probably seen this because I saw it when I worked one-to-one in gyms, that you can compare yourself against other trainers, compare yourself against other people online. And I think, you know, for people in the influencer space, personal training space, it's relative because we all do it in different areas, you know. Certain people will compare themselves against people's job, their relationships, you know, their finances, their body, etc. What was your self-talk for kind of overcoming that comparison syndrome? I'm always interested for somebody that's clearly done a lot of deep work on this to get to that point, as someone who's always trying to add tools to my own arsenal to help me deal with it myself. But what was your, how did you overcome that self-talk, or what was your self-talk or internal dialogue like to overcome that comparison syndrome?
I think the first thing on the gym floor, right, was the fact that I was an athlete. My goal was always football, right? So whereas most personal trainers that do go into personal training are physique competitors. So comparison for them is very natural, right? So, and for me, it wasn't. I always find that field athletes and people that play team sports tend to be way more confident just from the changing room banter alone, right? Like, you get grilled so much at like a sport that you kind of become conditioned to not really care about other people's opinion as much, right? And now with the comparison thing, what I've always, even if I ended up comparing myself to anyone, I would always check myself and be like, whoa, hold on, you're in your position for this reason, you need to pay attention to that. And if you think about it, like, my best friend is probably the leading guy in fitness, right? So I'd probably be in the worst place when it comes to comparison if my mentality was always comparing myself to someone else. Do you know what I mean? So, like, hence why people, and what I've always done is just paid attention to my growth. Are you better than yesterday? What are you doing tomorrow to deliver better content or coaching to your clients? Are you becoming a better athlete tomorrow? What are you learning in jiu-jitsu? Are you getting better, developing? And that's what most people should be doing, not only with their fitness results, if you're a personal trainer, as well as whatever you do. But to be honest, I also come from a family where my dad doesn't give a fuck about other people's opinions. So, like, I've always kind of had that sort of thing on my side too, which I've been lucky about.
I love that. You mentioned there, Darren, about paying attention to your growth, which gives me a perfect segue. One of the things you put up on Instagram, it was a couple of weeks ago now, but I loved it, was don't complain about your problems, choose your problems. Can you explore that with us?
Yeah, so I think a lot of time people, they look at problems as such a negative thing, right? And like, if you don't have problems, like, think about why you're alive. Why are we alive if we don't have problems to solve? Today, I'll give you an example. I'm prepping for my show in 3 weeks. There's things in there that I'm not completely happy with. I'm thinking about it all day. I'm wasting energy. My brain is like, I've had a big day, right? But I'm kind of grateful for that because I chose that problem and I'm going to fix it. If I didn't have that problem to fix, what else would I be doing, right? So, and I think a lot of the time, instead of people trying to get away from the problems, I think they should just look at solving it. Because when you solve it, you feel that element of accomplishment, which accomplishment, purpose, which I think gives you a huge leap of happiness, you know, because if we don't wake up with a purpose or a problem to solve, it's almost like, why do we wake up? Do you know what I mean? And you know what? This happens a lot to very successful entrepreneurs, people that sell their companies for hundreds of millions of pounds. They wake up and they go, fuck, I've done it. Now what? They've got no more problems, you know? So I'm kind of grateful for the problems that I have. And it's weird. I find that people like myself are always trying to create more problems to even stay kind of sane, you know? But yeah.
What keeps you motivated? I think that mindset of choosing your problems and then finding the solutions to the problems that you've chosen is building up mental toughness, it's building up confidence, self-discipline, all those things that come with it. I'm curious then, Darren, if, for example, what would you do and how would you handle problems that you didn't choose? So if something popped up in your life that wasn't a problem you chose, what's your process for that? Is it going to your inner circle, circling back into your family, reflecting on it yourself? How do you normally work through those problems that come up that you didn't necessarily choose?
I'm trying to think of a problem that I didn't choose. because I can always choose to ignore it if it's not my problem.
Okay, explore that. Give an example of something that might come into your space that you would choose to ignore.
Okay, so we have a lot of friends and family, right? Everyone has friends and family, right? Everyone's got people that they know. And sometimes a lot of people tend to put their problems onto you like it's your problem. So in essence, this is a problem that has occurred, which is now my problem. I can choose not to make that my problem. And I feel like sometimes a lot of us, even we don't choose it, we accept the fact that someone else has put their problem to make it your problem. Does that make sense?
100%. It's the high end of projection, where people are projecting their thing onto you or their shit onto you. Exactly. I think if there was one thing I learned about in the last 5 or 10 years that has served me more than anything else, it's realizing that, you know, people are dicks and they put their shit onto you if they're dealing with their own shit. And I think that one thought of people would put their problems onto you, or, you know, people put their shit onto you, it eliminates a lot of potential issues that you could have in your life.
Yeah. And one way I think about this is, like, of course, you're going to have moments where, like, your family need you and whatnot. And yeah, you're going to do what you need to do for them and everything. But I think I always ask myself, especially sometimes, like, I can be really nice, right? And sometimes maybe I can be overly nice, right? And I ask myself, what would that other person do if they were in the same situation? This could be being really nice or either a problem. And if the other person had, if I took my problem to the other person and they ignored it, I would calculate how I'm going to make it my problem, or I'm not going to make my problem like that as well. This really depends on who it is you're trying to help, as well as, because a lot of times people will take advantage of you, especially if you're someone with, like, a lot of good energy, a lot to give. And sometimes you can get carried away with giving too much, which then can be detrimental for yourself, which I've been in positions where I've done that, you know. So
how do you protect your energy, Darren?
I stay away from people that try and suck it up.
let's go a bit deeper on that, because I think there's a lot of people here. Emotional vampires is normally the language I put on that.
Yeah.
What's your process? Do you have red flags for people? Has it become easier over time to notice those people who are going to potentially suck that energy? Or is it a case of just constantly reevaluating and just doubling down on the people that don't do that? What does your process look like?
I think, to be honest, I wouldn't say I have an exact process. I think I'm pretty good with picking that up with people. And I wouldn't say tests. But when you spend time with people, you'll realize you just have this gut feeling of if they're genuine or not. And if you're ignoring that gut feeling, it's probably because you're craving attention, right? And I've noticed that with people. And usually my way of kind of keeping those people away is not even getting close before, to give them an opportunity that they can be stick around, if that makes sense, and be really honest. Because even when it comes to your friends, like, a lot of people get sucked into, we all have friends from primary school, secondary school, that, you know, you're like your best friends from school, right? And they're always, when you chat to them, when you talk to them, it's always that same connection you had in school. But sometimes, yeah, you can have that connection. You can go see them and do things and blah, blah, but sometimes you can't spend too much time with those people or feel guilty for moving away from those sort of people, because you could have outgrown them. And what sometimes people try and do is try to kind of attach themselves to you or kind of drag you down a little bit, which I think I've seen a lot of my clients and a lot of people get stuck in this vicious cycle, which is why I'm talking about it. I feel like I've done a good job with who I surround myself with, which I think is very important. But a lot of the time, when we are too nice, I think some people can really take advantage of that, which is why we should always protect our energy and be careful who we have around, you know?
Yeah, I had a very similar conversation with, I know somebody that you're good friends with, Felicity Rosina, and she said the same thing about unfriending people, defriending people, particularly either those that were in your school network or just geographical location where your friends, because they live near you, that you need to be a lot more picky wasn't the word she used, but selective of who you spend your time with and protecting that energy, which kind of lets me funnel back to those school days. One of your dreams, Dieran, was to become a footballer. I know you trialed at 16, you were in Turkey, but what's something that you dream to aspire to now? I know you're doing so much in terms of the space, the people you're helping online. What, obviously you're somebody, when you use, anytime I hear the language dream, and that was your dream to be a footballer, I think we're all that way definitely at some point. I think, yeah. Are you a Spurs fan? Did I see you at a Spurs game recently, Dieran?
No, I'm a West Ham fan.
Oh yeah. Were you at a Spurs game? Yeah. Did I see that on Instagram?
I was at the NFL.
Oh yes, that makes sense. I saw that pop up on my screen. Yeah, no, I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm a Gooner. I had a season ticket when I lived in London a long time ago.
Now. How did you get that?
It was between four of us, Dieran. It was between four, so I can't really say that I got to as many games as I would have liked. Okay. I got the short straw in a couple of the games, to be fair. You know, the guys got to go to City and United, but it's a conversation for another day, but it was amazing. Yeah. I wouldn't have traded for anything. But what's something you aspire to now? What's one of your current dreams, or how do you look at that in terms of what it is that you want to do with the future? Because you're obviously helping so many people online and offline, you know, directly, indirectly. What's something that you aspire to now, and what's the thing that kind of motivates and inspires you at the minute?
My biggest goal right now is I'm building the platform that I have is getting rebuilt. I've got developers in the Ukraine building kind of like a brand new product for next year. I'm launching something new and I want to create an online product where I can create more efficiency for my clients, scale my business and give people more value for the money that they pay. That's my biggest goal right now. I'm trying to do that. At the same time, I'm getting ready for the shows that I'm doing. And one day, I would love, and one of my dreams is to have a show one day on TV, because I really do enjoy creating content, doing entertainment. I don't even know exactly what sort of entertainment it is, but I just like being with people when the camera's on, when they press record, interviewing people, talking, having these deep conversations, I think give value to people. So one of my dreams would be to have my own TV show. That's the first. Or just be on TV, doing something on TV or entertainment. That's one of the goals for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a matter of time with the amount of exposure you have, things like this podcast, you know, all the other things that you're doing, it's putting it out there for people. So it's just kind of right place, right time for something to come up. And I think you'd be amazing at that. I follow a lot of your reels and your Instagram videos are just, you have a very unique way of putting across a message, which is not only entertaining, but also side-splitting would probably be the language I would put with that.
You mentioned
Dieran, the efficiency for clients, and that's something you'd like to do. And I think that's a message you put across, you know, it's in the niche 247, you know, your whole message is about efficiency and effectiveness and not blasting out those hours in the gym. But when I think of niche activity, I think it's a massively underrated or underutilized tool when it comes to weight loss or fat loss. Another one I have personally is sleep. You know, I think that's another massively underrated thing that people neglect when they have a weight or a fat loss goal. Is there anything else outside of niche up 247 or just niche activity in general that you think is really underrated when it comes to a fat loss tool or weight loss tool that people could use?
I'm so glad you said sleep. That's the first thing. It's so underrated. It's so underrated. People don't realize the impact of lack of sleep, how it can affect you the next day. Not even the next day, the upcoming week, which is why routine is so important. Now, some of the other things that I would say that's really important, especially in this new era of calorie deficit, is meal timings. A lot of the time, let's say there's a nutrition pyramid. Calories at the bottom, macro split, micro supplements, meal timing, vitamins, supplements at the top. Let's just say there's a nutrition pyramid like that. Calories are always going to be king, right? When it comes to energy in versus energy out. But people need to think about how they can keep a sustainable deficit or whatever their goal is, right? And a lot of time is I can eat whatever I want. That's cool. But that is not going to be sustainable long term, which is why we need to make healthy choices. And I think it's the same with people when it comes to meal timing. How many times, even you, I'm sure you've missed breakfast, right? You miss breakfast You might have trained, your performance might have not been great. You go and eat lunch and you just feel a little bit off. You're out of routine. You overeat now. Your gut feels a bit funny. Your afternoon's not as good as what it would have been. And then at evening, you overeat because you feel like you didn't eat that much because you missed out breakfast and stuff. And I feel like, especially performance-wise in the gym, meal timings for people that are so obsessed with calorie deficit is so important, and they should start paying more attention to it. I would say that's one of the things. That's one of the things I've been talking to a lot to my clients about, actually.
When you say meal timings, Darren, do you mean the routine in general or any specific meal times?
I just mean like have 3 meals a day, like just eat, you know, like because of the calorie deficit trend, what we tend to do is, you know what, I'll miss out breakfast and then I'll just have lunch or whatever, which is fine. But then it could affect your performance in the gym. It could affect your performance throughout the day. That can lead to other situations that you don't want to deal with, which is why, like you said, routine is the most important thing and staying consistent with the routine that you have. Because the one thing why we all fail at whatever it is we're trying to achieve is very simple, and that is just consistency. That is it. That like is consistency. And a big mistake that people do is, and I'm sure you've had this, where, oh, my calories are not working, should I drop my calories? People are not patient. They don't give enough time to their current targets, enough time to see if it actually works. Then what happens is they jump from one thing to another and then don't fully understand what it is that works for them perfectly, which is why routine and consistency is so important.
Yeah, I think, as you said there, during patience and consistency, even though the most important thing are the most unsexy words when it comes to weight loss and fat loss, like people want to hear fasting, they want to hear keto diet, they want to hear supplements, they want to hear brand new X3957 program that melts fat from your stomach or from your belly. And it's, the answer is, it's calorie deficit plus patience plus consistency, and that's it. That's the recipe for long-term fat loss and sustainable weight loss over time. I kind of mentioned a couple. I don't have as many pet peeves now as I once had because I probably consume considerably less social media than I did several years ago. But what are some of the pet peeves that you see? I know yourself and James do this a lot, where you're very no bullshit, you know, either in individual content or together, where you call out stuff that is very much, this is bullshit, this is horseshit, don't follow this. Is there any particular pet peeves at the minute that are particularly irksome?
Oh, yes. Fucking bloody body positivity bullshit. Oh, drives me mad. I can't stand people that are in unbelievable shape, bending over backwards to create a roll on their belly to then post a picture to try and be relatable to people that have actually suffered from being overweight. That is, I cannot stand it. And I will see right through them. Especially, there are some girls in the fitness industry I just can't. They've all blocked me anyway from the videos I've made. They've all blocked me and complained. But, which is why I probably don't get a blue tick. But that is my biggest, it's my worst. I hate it. I can't stand people that are not real. Because at the end of the day, I think a huge difference between the people, say, like us in the fitness industry and, say, influencers, the biggest difference is that we've actually coached and we've been in fitness. Now you're getting a lot of influencers that are getting into fitness that look like they've been in fitness because of their following or whatever they've done, right? So my biggest pet peeve is probably that, because of the audience that they have, they're able to spread a very simple message, like potentially millions of people. Like, you think about it, someone comes out of Love Island, gets a couple million followers, they're an influencer, they've never been in the fitness industry or coach, but now they're bringing out a coaching plan and they don't even know what the hell they're doing, you know? And this leads to people gaining bad habits. This leads to people kind of setting people up for failure, disappointment, which leads to all sort of mental issues with a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure you've dealt with I've dealt with so many female clients that I put a lot of work in to get them out the mindset of all those fads, of all those like stupid things that they've done in the past. You gain a lot of trust for them to be like, eat, please, Karen, just eat your food. Don't be scared. You know, so that's what annoys me the most, when you get people that are not experienced trying to kind of mislead people.
Yeah, I've had that conversation with several clients, you know, where you have an influencer that's come out of Love Island or some other show, and then they come out with a coaching plan and they might have got a qualification or in the midst of it. And, you know, I tell my clients, I'm like, it's like wiping your arse before you take a shit. I'm like, the order matters. Yeah. I'm like, if you have a personal trainer who becomes an influencer, that's very different from an influencer who becomes a personal trainer, and the timeline matters. So I think it's look at it at a, where's the advice coming from? You know, is this person qualified? Have they been working with people for years? Or do they just look amazing and now they're selling kind of a quick fix idea? You know, think about the order in which the person has got into the fitness industry. I think there's so much noise online now. That's why when you call it out, it's so refreshing, because it at least gives people a little bit of a better filter, that they don't take everything at face value and they question things, which I think is really important. Why, yeah. Darren, to stay on that influencer body positivity bullshit, to keep that as the kind of the core concept here, why do you think it's so destructive? Is it because it completely damages the relationship with food or people's body or training? Why do you think it's so destructive, particularly from your experience on the clients you've been working with?
Because I think, number one, it kind of gives the message as what they're trying to say is like, hey, look, I have roles too, it's okay. But they're actually doing the polar opposite by doing that. Because if it's not a problem, then we don't really need to talk about it, right? So you're drawing now attention to women that do actually suffer from feeling overweight and not feeling great about their self. So you're targeting them now, and it's making things worse for them, which makes them really frustrated. Makes me frustrated, because I know they're only doing it for engagement, because in the last couple of years, there's been a huge spike in engagement with bending over backwards to make you look like you're relatable. You know? So it's like, hey, I'm Team Soft Belly. Leave that to me, all right? You know? So, and that's, and the damage it can cause is not only for people that are actually suffering with that, but it's now influencing lean athletes to make posts like that. And now they're feeling insecure about themselves. And I'm like, this is some crazy vicious cycle, because initially there's body positivity and there's body confidence. It's like a different scene. So when I was talking to Jessie King about this, right? And she was like, no, Darren, don't get me involved in that. I'm all about confidence. I'm not all about that body part. And I was like, okay, cool, Jesse. He goes, don't start me with the people that are pushing for that, because it's such a whole different scene. And when I did make those videos, I got one that got like 500,000 views when I did one. I did like I'm bending over backwards.
Yeah, I saw that
get
one.
Some rolls. Yeah, yeah. And I got so much love from like American body confidence girls. They were sharing my stuff. They were messaging me. I got a few on my podcast to talk about this. And everyone in the UK like hated on me. And I actually got a lot of messages from friends that actually do those sort of posts saying, I can't believe, Darren, you'll talk about me like that. I was like, hold on a second. I wasn't talking about you, but you're awfully defensive about something, aren't you? So it must be true. And yeah, so I didn't even care. So I got into a bit of trouble with that with some friends. But
it happens though. Like it's amazing. That's what I call purple polar bears. I'm like, if somebody calls you a purple polar bear, you go scroll straight past that content. But if somebody calls out body positivity and you're like, fuck you, Darren, that's, you've attacked me directly. It's like, I didn't mention you. You know, I get it all the time on my side as well. You know, I'm using your example here, but it's like, well, why did that connect with you? I'm like, maybe it's worth doing a deep dive into why you feel that way. Why did you get triggered? Why did you get angered? And there's a lot of value in that. What's the difference, Darren, between the body positivity and the body confidence? And just because I heard both, obviously, words and kind of topics of conversation, but I'm not deep on the rabbit hole on either. What's the difference between body positivity, which I can, we've probably established, but what's the difference between that compared to body confidence then?
To be honest, I'm not that deep into it either. But what, from my experience and from the small conversations I've had with some of these people, is that obviously body confidence is purely about confidence about your body. And I'm pretty sure, and I don't want to get this wrong actually, I'm pretty sure it started back in the 60s or 70s by overweight black women. So now, when there's a lot of slim white girls trying to take over, it's very patronizing to them because initially they started it for political reasons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not, I need to get actually deep into that rabbit hole, which I will. That's why it's also very patronizing to this American scene, especially the ethnic American scene as well, which is why I got a lot of love from them when I did it.
No, that's good. At least there was positivity out of that as well, because I think it just, again, things are open for interpretation. It's the nature of the beast with the internet. Like, you might say one thing and people will, like, how many times, Jaren, it's happened to me on my side. I see it on your posts as well. It happens with James. It happens with conversations you've had with the two of you speaking, where people will hear or read things that weren't said because that's the lens or the experience or the bias that they're bringing to that particular topic. And that can be a little bit frustrating because it's normally not what you've meant, or if I put up a post, it's not necessarily what you meant, but it's the nature of the beast with the internet and kind of handling that. Do you find that when you put out a lot of content, it's normally interpreted the way you meant it, or do you have just a mixed bag where, you know, in the case of the example, 500,000 people with the body positivity video, the US market were very much all first, body confidence, totally get what you're doing here. And then some friends in the UK were the opposite. Do you find that a lot of your content can polarize people like that? Or is it mostly interpreted the way you mean?
Majority of the time, I think one thing I've been told and one thing I've learned to kind of take advantage of myself is I think I can really put my feelings across on a video, right? I feel like I can really be myself on video. And by doing that, I think people can tell if I'm genuine about something I speak about, right? So even sometimes when I say something wrong, people are like, no, hold on. I don't think he meant it like that, because you can tell it comes from a good place, right? And so knowing that, I know even if I do say get something wrong, I get some negative comments, I'm not fussed about it, because if I am wrong, I will come out and say, oh shit, I messed up here. I should have maybe dove into this a little bit more before posting about it. But I've always had the mentality of, if I'm putting something on the internet, there is always going to be people that are not going to like it. There's always going to be opinions. So knowing that, I go in with the headspace of, I don't care anyway. I've done it because I wanted to do it, because I think it would help a lot of people. And even if it helps one person, then I've done good, you know? So I don't think about it too much. And I think the influencers or people that have a following, when you think too much, I think it stops people from putting out good content, if I'm being honest.
With that, Jaren, just kind of from a personal standpoint, do you, anything that comes to mind that you think will serve your audience, do you create content for that? Or where do your content ideas come from? Is it from questions with clients, or is it just from conversations with friends, or is it they just pop up to you in the shower? Where do your ideas come from? Because you have a very wide-ranging amount of content. It's all based in around the same idea and the same principles. Yeah. A mixture of content from your personal life mixed in with, you know, Neetup 247. But where do you kind of come up with the ideas for it? Because some of your stuff's really fucking entertaining. Like, some of it's really funny. Like, well, where does that come from in terms of your idea process? Which I think is useful for people listening who are just looking to be a bit more creative with whatever it is they're doing. You know, it's Instagram or social media here in this context, but, you know, creativity spans lots of different shapes and forms. What's your process?
First of all, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And secondly, it honestly comes from like everywhere. For example, at the minute, the last couple of weeks, and I know the coming weeks, my content is not going to be great. I just know, because my mind is so busy with other things that I have to do right now, which is why my focus is not that. But all the ideas that come, all the ideas that I get, especially when I first started, was the gym floor. I mean, I'm training 8-9 people a day. They ask me a million questions a day. If I can't make a video, if I made a video for each question, I'll have enough videos for the next 10 years, you know? So that's one way. The other way is, like you said, in the shower, I do actually find that a lot of the ideas that I get that bang are ones where I'm kind of doing nothing and letting my brain in the background work, which is why I love walking so much. I love walking. I put on Hans Zimmer or a podcast and I just let the mind wander and just things appear. And the other thing is, yes, conversations with people spark a lot of these sort of ideas, and then you kind of solve a problem with that person talking about it, and then I'm like, oh my god, that'll make a great email, or that'll make a great video, because that is so relatable to so many people and it could help so many people. So I'd go and make a video about it, and then when I'm making a video about it, I do my best to bring myself out as much as possible. So, and when I'm doing that, the whole purpose of that is to keep engagement on the video so they listen to what I'm saying. For example, the people that are listening to this podcast right now are going to be people that took time out of their day to go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever to press play. On social media, they're swiping down so fast. If I'm not being engaging, I'm boring. And if I'm boring, they're not going to wait, especially at this moment of time when you got platforms like TikTok. I mean, if you don't catch someone's attention in 2 seconds, you're done, you know? So I have to bring the best out of me, you know? So that's how I look at it.
What was the last podcast, Darren, that you got to the very end to? I call them extra long drive podcasts. So the ones that I'm like 40 minutes, there's 20 minutes left. I'm like, fuck, I'll just drive the long way home so that I can listen to the rest and get to the end. What was the last podcast that you had, you know, you took extra steps, you did a longer walk just because you wanted to get to the end of it?
That's a very good question. Was it a Rogan one? I think it was a Joe Rogan one, you know. I do love listening to, like, I love listening to Rogan with his mates, right? Joe Rogan, when he talks with his friends, especially when it comes to the MMA stuff, I love it because it's such a natural conversation that comes up with his friends. Even guys like Rogan and Andrew Schultz. Actually, no. There was one podcast I listened to with 50 Cent. 50 Cent was the guest. And I've never heard 50 Cent talk on a podcast. And I was like, I need to listen to this. A friend sent it to me. I listened to it and I was like, this motherfucker is so smart. He is so smart. And he brought whatever he learned on the street to, like, business and what he does today. And in my head, I was like, fuck, this is so motivational. But I didn't come from somewhere where I'm shooting people and stuff. But I was like, my skills are so similar to his in a way. And if he's accomplished that, then I could do that. And it really motivated me and inspired me. So I started listening to more stuff of his. But so a lot of times I like to really reach out to somewhere or something where no one really talks about to get a different point of view from something to then have my own opinion on a topic.
Was it the 50 Cent episode on purpose with Jay Shetty? Was that the one?
No, it wasn't with Jay Shetty. It wasn't with Jay Shetty, but I will listen to that one. Is that good, is it?
I haven't listened to it, no, but I pulled up a couple as we were speaking here just because I definitely want to listen to that episode.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you. It was a really good one. It was just smart. He's just like so emotionally intelligent. The way he's talking to someone, I'm like, he's so smart. And it's crazy how underrated emotional intelligence is. And I think people don't realize how much it can add to their life by getting better at conversations, you know? I think it's something people really don't do enough. A lot of us like to avoid conversations because sometimes we feel uncomfortable about topics we don't know. But I feel like I've spent my life learning from asking a million questions.
Yeah, I think there's a whole gift in that. I think a skill set is, you know, the ability to ask good questions, especially to people who are in positions where you'd like to be. You know, emotional intelligence is something that I've done a deep dive in the last few years as well, for the exact same reasons, because of the benefit. But to be honest, being full transparency, it's something that I definitely didn't put that much emphasis on. I was so focused on the, you know, traditional intelligence, the educational element, and not realizing that emotional intelligence plays such a huge role. Darren, do you have something that you've changed your mind about in recent years? Something that's completely, I won't say a complete 180, but definitely a new way of thinking, either with your coaching, the way you work with people, or just something in your own personal life that supported you that you've changed your mind about?
Mate, I used to take the piss out of my sister for meditating and doing yoga. Now I meditate every day. that's the one thing. I never realized how much meditation would help me and help my mind. And now I meditate every single day. I do my best to take time out to recharge my mind, my brain. I've never felt so spiritual in my life. You know, I'm not a religious person, but I really do now pay more attention to, I guess the word is, being more present in the moment with whatever it is that I'm doing and learning to take time out of things, which is something I've always struggled with. You know, it's hard to switch off. I'm sure you know. It's hard to switch off, you know. So what I've realized is, and what I've, instead of the whole work all day, train hard, and there I actually now take my time with things, take moments where I'm not doing anything to come back to the activity where I can give 150% and get a better outcome than just doing everything back to back with a very average outcome. So meditation, taking time out, is definitely one thing that I've changed in the last couple years for sure.
That's brilliant. I think that's so valuable for people. Darren, I've only got one more question that I want to ask you. I've loved this conversation. There's so much value in here for people. But the last thing I want to ask is, if you had access to, you put out a lot of stuff on Instagram already. You've got a huge following, either through the podcast, as I said, that I'll link in the show notes for people. Go over there and subscribe, follow. You've got great guests on there. You've got some solo episodes with loads of value that I think people who are listening to podcasts will get a lot from. But if you could access the Instagram overlords effectively and put out one post that would hit every single person on Instagram who has a weight or a fat loss goal or is struggling some area in their life when it comes to hitting a fitness goal, and you could put out one post that would hit every single one of those people, what would you post?
What would I post? Well, that's a great question. You know, I would post something so basic like, move, eat, train, and do it every single day without overcomplicating any of those things, as well as putting time aside for your mental health, and you'll forever be happy. You know, something so basic to just, but in a very influential, charismatic way where they're like, oh, it is that simple. Something like that. It's something I'll have to really think about. But a lot of times we're so flooded with overcomplications, we forget that if we eat, sleep, move, train, be mindful, either way, your life is going to be fine. And majority of the time, even when you do think you want certain things, when you get them, you realize you actually don't. And you're actually trying to cover up another problem that you need to solve, which is majority of the time with something within.
Well, we started with genius and simplicity with the Neat Up 247. And I think we've ended with genius and simplicity in towards look at your mental health, move more, train more, and realize that any of those insecurities or issues you're dealing with are coming from within. It's not the external world that's the problem in the most case. Darren, I've loved this conversation. What a way to finish. For everybody listening, Darren, you have the podcast, you have Instagram, you have the coaching. Any links or anywhere you want to send people specifically now, please give that. And I highly recommend people go and follow your content if they're not already. You put out great stuff. You're really consistent with it. You know, I know it's taking a backseat now because you have other things, but there's so much in the back catalog that people can scroll through Instagram, go to the website, go to the podcast, but anywhere you want to send people now, please do that.
Legend. If you just search Darren Cartel on Instagram, you'll find me there. www.darrencartel.com if you want to work with me and get coached by me. Darren Cartel Show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And thank you so much for having me on, man. Sorry it took a little while for it to get me on. It's been a mad summer, but I do really appreciate you coming on. I've really enjoyed this conversation, bro.
Pleasure was all mine, Darren. I absolutely love this. Thank you so much again. And for everybody listening, everything that we talked about in today's episode and all the links for Darren's platforms will be in the show notes on BrianKeenFitness.com and in the links wherever you are listening to podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Overcast, etc. Click on straight through. Darren, thank you so much for what you do, mate. And thank you even more for your time today. I really, really appreciate it.
Legend, thank you.
There you have it, Darren Cartel on simplifying weight loss and Neat Up 247, influencer body positivity bullshit, and why you need to choose your problems. Hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Very similar to when I had James Smith on the podcast back in episode 168. Darren is somebody who I think the fitness industry is better for having. He calls out a lot of the bullshit. He tells things like it is, and his whole focus, as you can tell from today's episode, is on simplifying fitness, simplifying nutrition, simplifying weight loss, simplifying fat loss for people. So grateful that he does what he does. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording. As I said, that's everything from this week's episode. Catch you all next Monday.